Gen Z hops on the pre-owned watch train. Luxury watches are being held hostage during divorce. And what it's like doing business with a billionaire.
You're listening to the Gray Market Podcast, your daily source of watch and horology news, brought to you by the experts at Luxury Bazaar.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. With me today, I have Anna, also known as WatchAnna.lb, one of Luxury Bazaar's top salespeople and the first employee ever to talk about today's topics with us. Welcome, Anna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. Another beautiful day at Luxury Bazaar.
That's right.
Anna, I wanted to bring up a couple topics that I thought you would be a good source to discuss. First one is Gen Z hops on the pre-owned luxury watch train. I know you asked me who Jen is.
I don't really watch YouTube.
So Gen Z, I'm assuming it's the newest generation. I guess it's like maybe, you know, what is it? Probably like 18 to 25-year-olds? Anybody know?
It's like 19... 90s and
let's say that. Yeah, let's say that. According to news articles, sales of secondhand timepieces are booming, driven by Generation Z buyers who want luxury goods but are also sustainability minded. I'm sorry, I'm reading off this. I kind of get the whole point, like, you know, so like they're more into, you know, recycling and sustainability and, you know, earth and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but I think right now people came to like understand that if you buy pre-owned, you get a better deal than going to a store.
That's probably
it's not as scary like it was 20 years ago when we started, when people are like, well, why would I buy from you? Who are you? How do I know it's authentic? Now all the social media and all the knowledge that is everywhere, they're able to actually check all these you know, watches that
they're
buying. Yeah,
so I mean, clearly pre-owned, so obviously one of the main reasons is the fact that they are priced more competitively. I think one of the second one would be the fact that they're not available at authorized dealers. So
Whereas
20 years ago, you were able to go to a Rolex store, get it below retail.
True.
But the whole sustainability thing, I think it's a really cool, like, way to look at things. It's, you know, it's renewable. I mean, so you're taking an old item, you're wearing it that's new to you, you're not using up any more materials, you're not hurting the earth in any way to, you know, to manufacture this product. So that's a cool, you know, Gen Z type of thing to do.
But is it really?
I don't know.
I mean, do they really do that for that?
I'm assuming
people
some of
that
them.
Are like into watches are not necessarily trying to save the earth, if you know what I mean.
Well, okay, look at it like this. So obviously you have like Gen Z, let's say, is somebody that's right now 30 years old.
Right.
Yes, it's more affordable to them, you know, generally speaking, to buy a pre-owned watch. But if at the same time, and I know a lot of them are just kind of into the vintage or neo-vintage just in itself, you know, like I don't want to, you know, put any names on anybody, but like
labels.
Hipsters, yeah, any
right.
labels, but hipsters, for example, are really into anything vintage.
Right.
I know we have a couple of hipsters at the office and mm-hmm. they love anything vintage.
Right.
Watches could be one of those things. It's just, you know, it's cooler. The fact that
right.
it has a
it's
history,
cool.
you
right.
know.
Exactly.
Somebody wore it, somebody went through some things in life with it. So according to the news, same thing, Switch watch exports hit a new record in 2022, climbing 11.4% year over year to 24.8 billion Swiss francs.
Wow.
If you were to guess what percentage of like your sales were new product to pre-owned slash vintage slash neo-vintage, what do you think it would be? You
know? Personally, definitely very little vintage.
Really?
Probably 60-40, 60 being pre-owned.
60 pre-owned. Is that just because of the price, I'm assuming?
Price, absolutely.
Okay. And availability, okay,
of
I
course.
Guess.
Right. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people pay extra for what's considered a new, like
right,
never
new
worn,
sticker,
yeah.
never breathed on, yeah. never looked on.
Didn't
never
you have
touched.
A client? Did you have a client once that wanted it all handled with gloves? The fact that like no human skin can touch this watch.
It wasn't definitely not my client.
No. Somebody had
but
something here. Where
I'm
like,
not surprised.
You know, I don't want anybody, not a single you know person's skin
look at it.
Touching this watch
right.
until
no
I
DNA.
Get it.
Somebody yeah. told me this watch is brand new. No DNA no on it. DNA. I'm like, I hope there's no DNA on it.
It was found in a crime
right.
scene.
Right.
So Deloitte study found that buying a cheaper watch was the main motivation for 44% of respondents. Obviously, that was pretty clear to us. I'm still trying to figure out how much, you know, of that, let's say how much, 44 is cheaper. Of that, the rest of the you know, 56%, how much is that because of, like, the whole sustainability, because it has a history? obviously, we'll never really know the motivations for people to buy these.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, if somebody calls me and we have a pre-owned watch and like new mint condition, somebody maybe just put it on their wrist once. Mm-hmm. Why not buy that watch and or, you know, buy it's that or buy something that could be much more expensive?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Just because it's pre-owned doesn't mean that it's worn, again.
That's true. You know, we do have a label called unworn. Now, unworn for us is new.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Now, why is it labeled unworn rather than new?
There are reasons.
There are legal
reasons? Legal reasons.
All right, so we can't claim this watch is new because it didn't come
brand
from...
Brand new.
It didn't
because
come from
we're
an
not
authorized
the
dealer or
exactly.
the manufacturer.
I actually don't know if that's still the case, but yes, back in the day, it was. We aren't not supposed to put brand new.
I got
it's,
you.
Unless it's coming from directly from the authorized dealer, we can't say that it's brand new.
Okay. Next topic I want to talk about is an interesting story I saw recently that Swiss watches are being held hostage during divorce proceedings. The reason I thought this was cool for you was, again, you do business with a lot of different clients. Has anybody ever like reached out and be like, look, I'm about to file divorce papers from my significant other. Would you buy these watches and how much are they worth?
Actually, no.
No?
But I did have a lot of, I'm broke because I'm getting a divorce. So I can't buy a watch right now, but then get a call a week later and say,
do you think that's
do you have
an
anything
excuse?
For sale? No.
Has anybody ever sold their watches to you during like divorce?
A divorce? No.
Okay, because I know like I have a friend who's a realtor and he has a lot of business. Like a lot, I guess he maybe specializes in selling divorce properties. I don't even know if it's divorce.
Can you give me his number?
I hope not.
Not for divorce. For his
wife. Oh, you want to sell your house?
No.
Let me read some of the information
for
from the
his,
article.
Whatever. You say he has clients. That
yes,
are
he has
getting
clients.
Divorced, that
you know, everybody
sell
watching
their
this is
going to
be like, oh my God, Anna's getting divorced. Your husband's going to watch this thing. He's like, he's going to contact this realtor first.
No, I thought that he has connections to people that are...
I'm going to try to pronounce this sentence right here. I always have a hard time, but treasured timepieces can cause cataclysmic custody battles in divorce court. New York-based marital law attorney Peter Bronstein related, I have a case now in which a wife who was unhappy with her situation went to the family safe and removed a collection of watches that clearly belonged to the husband and moved them to a vault box that's under her control before she filed divorce papers. Now...
She's smart.
Yes. I guess since while you're married, anything that's purchased doesn't belong to one individual. It's not like, oh no, those are my watches. I bought them. You can't have them type thing.
Is so, it though? Unless there's a prenup. I don't know how that works.
Yes, of course, if there's a prenup. There could even be separate bank accounts, but like,
right.
You know, if I, God forbid, got divorced, you know, I can't say, well, I bought that watch, you know, with my money. No, I mean, it's our money. Like,
yeah, that's
there's
true.
No,
like, it's not like I'm going to go around the house, get all the TVs and stuff.
Yeah, but like, how does the wife then... You know, I guess in a way she withholds, you know, custody of certain assets.
Listen, that's better than kids, holding kids hostage, I guess.
Yeah, maybe the husband can ask for like shared, you know, like custody of the watches where he wears them one weekend, she wears them another weekend.
Right.
Now, it's actually funny because the reason that I guess this came up recently.
Well, I mean, I could see how that would happen because it's not like she can go to the bank account and empty that. It's
no.
easier to go to the safe and take...
But what's
something
the difference?
That you could actually hold.
What's the difference? If she did go to the bank account and empty that compared to
well,
taking...
Well, I don't think she can, though, without his approval.
Why? I mean, you can't go to your bank and
oh, I guess I can, yeah.
You know, so I guess one way or another, it's almost like...
Maybe without, like, okay, I know, because...
assets.
Because if she would have emptied the bank account, he would have noticed right away. Maybe
yeah.
the safe, it's like he's not looking at it.
Still doesn't seem like a legal thing to do, you know, like... I mean, what if
you
do that with cars?
I mean, in divorce, there's so many, I'm sure, yeah. illegal things that go happen all the time.
Well, so one of the things that's that's driving this, and again, well, let me go back into this article. Divorce-related watch
kidnapping. I love it how you ask me like I'm like a expert in divorce.
You're not an expert in divorce, but you're an expert in dealing with, you know, clients. And clients may
I never heard that. No.
I'm surprised because I would assume that, like, again, you don't, people just don't come to you and say, I want to buy a watch or I want to sell a watch. They give you their whole story.
Yeah, of course. Know? I actually have some husband and wife clients. Mm-hmm. And where they're like, well, don't tell her that I'm buying this. And then she's like, don't tell him. And I'm like working both ways because I can't really say. And see, I can't ship it to the same address. I have to ship it like to different addresses.
This is perfect because this feeds into what this article is saying. So divorce-related watch kidnappings may be linked to the recent rise in women wearing large Swiss luxury watches as fashion statements. So a lot of this is due to the fact that, yes, women started wearing men's size watches. So they're not just yours. They're mine as well. That's true. Wear Daytona. You wear Daytona. Absolutely. Doesn't really matter.
That's true.
And another thing that you just talked about is many men never come clean to their spouse about the true cost of the watch they're wearing.
Never. I actually put a meme on my Instagram where it says, like, it's like this angry face. And the guy goes, when somebody asks you how much your watch cost in front of your wife.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I'm sure not. Like, I actually have a client that wears, he only buys white metal, like steel and white gold, because his wife only knows that one color that he has.
Because if he would wear gold, it would seem expensive.
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, you got a new watch?
That's actually pretty funny. So, like, again, yes, men clearly either lie or don't make it known
and
how much they cost.
And a lot of them, they would spend, like, hundreds of thousands on their watches and then be like, do you have anything nice for my wife? And I'm like, what's the budget? Around 2,000.
I see that so often, you know, and it's actually pretty funny because, like, you know, but then what if, do you have any like female collectors?
Collectors? Not really. I think females are more concentrated on how like in the fashion sense.
Yeah.
Like what is going to match and not really like in a, you know, actually collectability.
Not
they don't really care if it's collectible or not.
No, but
they,
I mean,
like if, you know, does it look nice? Does it going to match my outfit?
But do they purchase more than one to match different outfits?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so in theory, they're collectors, not collecting it for the value, the history.
Right,
the, you know.
Right.
But like,
I want a pink watch,
I want a blue watch.
Yes, yes, okay. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, my watch. My wife has a beautiful watch. It doesn't even work because it's a quartz Patek Philippe that requires a battery, and she's never changed a battery in it. It's completely a fashion statement. She doesn't care what time it says. It looks beautiful.
You look at your phone.
Yes, everybody, I mean, that's what we use.
Right.
So this goes into when a husband sees his wife wearing their watch with a tennis bracelet and scratching it all up because they throw it into a change purse when they're at the gym. They get nervous. When husbands see that their wives have zero regard for what is a highly valuable watch, a dilemma develops. Not really sure where this is going with this, but scenarios like these gave rise to women understanding the true value of these watches. So
I mean, if you...
Oh, no. Don't scratch our watch. Why? Is it that expensive?
Right? No. I mean, I've seen plenty of guys, as soon as they put on their watch, 2 seconds later, it's already scratched up. So I don't know.
I could tell you for a fact that, you know.
But it depends on the person. It depends on the person. Like me, I would put it like in a sock and put it in my whatever.
Okay.
Like if I'm going somewhere, but or in travel case. But it depends on the person. Some will just throw it in there.
I've seen way less regard for luxury timepieces from women than from men. You know, men just seem to value them.
Speaking of socks, I have one client. I don't know if he's going to be listening to this, but every time I pick up a watch from him, it's expensive. It's always in socks. Always.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
I, like, what kind of socks?
He says they're clean socks, so I'm not sure. I'm like,
thank
you again for the socks. Yeah. I really needed them.
Next one might be in a pair of underwear.
Maybe.
Let's move on to the last topic I wanted to talk to you specifically about. You have a lot of experience with this. What is it like doing business with billionaires? I know you have a big roster of billionaire clients, millionaires, very wealthy individuals. Tell me just, you know, your experience dealing with them. What's it like if there is any difference from dealing with your average Joe?
There's not really any difference. People, you know, people are people. You know, it doesn't matter how wealthy they are. I've been lucky with all my clients. They're really, you know, down to earth. They're not pretentious by any means. The only thing is, it is sometimes difficult, the negotiation part, because they obviously billionaires for a reason. So
I mean,
they know how to handle money. And yeah, sometimes we would negotiate for, you know, a deal can be as far as like $1,000, maybe even less. And they like to negotiate. Some so people, not everybody, but some people love to negotiate. So it's like a game.
It's a sport.
It's a sport. Yeah.
It's a small win that they get, and
but not only for billionaires. I see that with the other clients that are not, you know, well off, but not millionaires.
Yeah.
But it's a sport to them, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you find it to be easier or harder selling watches to the ultra wealthy?
Sometimes it could be harder.
Why?
Because, like I said, they have experience and they want what they want. And if they see something and they have a price in mind, they want to get that price, which I'm okay with. I'm there for the clients. It's not a one-time deal. And if somebody wants to spend X amount of money for a watch, we'll wait and we'll make sure to get them that deal. So sometimes I will sell a watch almost for cost just to make them happy.
That leads
me to my
next question.
Because I know that they're going to be back for more.
Okay, there you go. So I just wanted to know, have you ever lost money?
Yes.
Or lost a deal with a billionaire or, an ultra-wealthy client?
Lost a deal? No, I don't think I ever lost. I mean, meaning, what do you mean, lost
like
a deal?
Like, you couldn't come to terms. I'm sorry, I can't drop my price any further. He would not come up.
Yes. You
know, it happened.
It happened before many times.
It's funny, like, don't you think, like, since money is no object to them, why?
Why? Because, listen, just like for you and me, which we're not billionaires.
Not yet.
You don't want to leave money on the table. And if they have a hunch about something and they don't think that it's a deal for them. So, yeah, maybe sometimes you lose a deal. But then you never know. Maybe it's going to be, you know, back on again, because that watch may come in tomorrow for a better price. And sometimes they have a hunch and that's fine. That's okay. You can win them all.
No, that's definitely clear. What is the biggest purchase someone has made with you? Biggest dollar amount?
One
customer.
In one shot?
Let's say in one shot, just to make it easier, so not over their lifetime.
Probably $1.5 million, I want to say.
Really?
Was it?
Yeah.
That's it? Yeah.
Thought it would be bigger.
No, I mean, watches are not...
No, but like, you know, purchase
like
packaging. Yeah,
packaging? Yeah. No, because it's like, it's not always in one shot.
I got you.
You know what I mean? It's not like, we're not talking about, I mean, unless they're, no, that it doesn't happen
all
in
right,
one
what
shot.
Do you
unless
think?
They're unless they're a dealer,
no.
Maybe that,
cancel
that's
the
when.
Dealers.
No, but it's but in a year, it could be, you know, a few million.
That's what
sure.
I'm wondering. So let's assume your most valuable client, how much do you think that person has spent with you? Over time, this one, we won't do one deal, just over time. Do you think it's above $10 million?
Possibly.
Possibly. Okay.
Possibly.
Now, I'm assuming this also includes trades, selling, buying back. You know.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you do business with, you know, the ultra wealthy billionaires, 100 millionaires, do you get any insight to how they became so successful just based off the negotiation, based off their personality?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
I'm assuming some of them are quirky.
Listen, I have a lot of clients, and when we negotiate, I always say, I'm like, can you please work with me and teach me how you do it? Because at the end of like negotiations, I'm like all drained. But listen, at the end of the day, my main concern is to make them happy, because I know that they're going to come back.
Yeah. Okay.
So even we don't have to make hit every single time. It's just like as long as we make a little bit of profit and they're happy, then I know that they're going to come back, and they know it as well. They know I'm going to give them the best deal.
Good. I guess you're building a lifelong
relationship. And that's why people come back to us.
Yeah.
I actually spoke to somebody yesterday that it's a fairly new client, maybe a year. So I sold him. I got a great deal in his last purchase when he thought it was too good to be true. He's like, but why are you selling it so cheap? I'm like, well, I can charge you more if you want. So I'm like, listen, if we get a good deal, you get a good deal. This is how, and he's like, he said that's why he came back again.
There you go. Value right there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done business with, you know, let's just say somebody famous, somebody that people would recognize?
That's a good question.
I mean, I know a couple of your clients, and I would say... you know, maybe, I don't know if recognized walking down the street, but definitely their accomplishments have been significant. Is there anybody that you would think is kind of like more celebrity status?
Maybe. You know what it is? Because I started doing this when, you know, when there's no social media, I have a lot of clients, and sometimes I'm like, oh, holy shit, I didn't even know that's what they do.
How often do you Google their houses?
So it's kind of a hobby of mine, and not because I care. No, because back in the day, every credit card purchase, any purchase at all with a wire or whatever it may be, I would have to Google it and make sure that they're legit, because there was a lot of fraud back in the day, like to the point that people were sending wires thinking they're buying a car, but really it's somebody else trying to buy a watch, or no, vice versa.
And you see it's like a little shack in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. So if somebody calls you and wants to buy, they're like, okay, I want to buy these three watches for, I don't know, $500,000. I'm going to Google their house and make sure that it's actually legit. But not because, you know, just to make sure. So it's, I don't do it often, but.
Have you ever had any like cool experience where like somebody like flew you out in their private jet?
No.
Nothing like that? Not yet? No.
Well,
hopefully after this.
For a girl, it doesn't work like that. It's,
no?
It kind of has like, that's why I actually was talking to Adrian about that before. I'm like, it's very like, there's like a thin line about like.
Oh, how appropriate?
Yeah, like, oh, honey, I'm going to meet up with my watch dealer, Anna, for dinner. That's like, you know.
Yeah, I guess that would be.
It doesn't work.
Inappropriate.
I mean, not that it, but you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, Anna, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day to talk to me about this. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much forced me to do
it. I did force you, yes. Please tell our viewers, our listeners, where they could find you and where they can connect with you.
You can find me on Instagram, watchanna.lb. Is it?
That is it.
Yes. Yeah. Watch Anna undoubtedly. Christian, stop laughing.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. If you like this content and you want us to continue doing this day after day, make sure to like, make sure to subscribe, make sure to comment and let us know. Review the podcast if you're listening to this. I would just want to make sure that, you know, we get positive reinforcement for doing this and that you let us know to continue doing this. Have a great day and we'll see you tomorrow.